This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. It's Sean and RJ. Bobby Belt out sick here on your home of America's team, where yesterday you got all the coverage of the Zach Martin retirement press conference. And I think the highlight was from our next guest. First, this is Zach. Brad Sham asked Jerry Jones, are you going to put him into the Ring of Honor before the Hall of Fame? We're going to play this waiting game again. And Jerry laughed and said, yes, he's going to go into the Ring of Honor beforehand. And Zach was asked what that type of achievement would feel like.
They would mean a great deal, right? You know, you try not, again, like when I came into the league, none of that stuff was ever on my radar. Like, I was just trying to get here and make sure I didn't screw it up. You know, they drafted me to go in there and play right away. So my focus was on, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can for the team. And then obviously started having some success. And, you know, those things get brought up and you start thinking about them a little bit. And, you know, absolutely, it would be a great honor one day if those happen.
Voice of America's team, Brad Sham, joining us now live on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I like the aggression there, Brad. I like the strategy. Very well done.
You know, I just remembered, as I told you yesterday, Sean, when he had the first press conference with Jimmy Johnson, that the subject was discussed, and he was on TV, he said, yes, he's going in the Ring of Honor. And nobody asked him when. And then a few years went by, and people said, well, wait, he lied. He didn't lie. But he just never said when it was going to happen. So now we've got him on the record. I just think that's a really important thing. He does, too, by the way. That's why he put Gil Brandt in when he put him in, because he wanted to make sure that it helped Gil's Hall of Fame chances. And that's why I think we'll probably see Jason Witten go in this year before the Hall of Fame vote. It's just important when those Hall of Fame voters get around to it. And I don't think there's any question about Zach Martin going in, but he really ought to be a first ballot guy, and I think that'll help him.
So you really think it plays a big role in that Hall of Fame room?
I think it's a role, RJ. I don't know how big, and I think how big depends on what the guy's credentials are and maybe who the presenter is. There have been times that a guy's credentials have been so good. I've been told, I mean, obviously I'm not one, so I don't know, but I've been told sometimes, like I think it was with either Jerry Rice or John Elway, whoever the presenter was, just got up and said, yeah, Jerry Rice, and that was it. And with Zach, I mean, I don't think you have to do anything more than say, you know, he played 11 years, went to 10 Pro Bowls, was all-pro nine times and had 7 holding penalties, and then just sit out. And I think that's all you have to do. But I do think that it helps that sometimes those voters, depending on who the other candidates are, they look at little things to determine why would a guy get in one year and not another year, and does his team have something like a Ring of Honor, and is he in it? And if he's not, well, what does that mean? So let's just remove all doubt.
Jerry says that it's now an argument with Zach versus Larry Allen. He's basically Larry Allen's twin. How do you recap the career of Zach Martin?
Well, it was brilliant. I think that Larry was more athletic. I don't think Zach would argue with me. Don't forget, Larry played every position but center. And like Cornell Green, he was all pro at more than one. So now that's Zach probably could have. In fact, he used to get irritated with me the first couple of years that he was in the league, because remember, he was a tackle at Notre Dame, and there was a little uncertainty for a year or two when he first came in about whether he might help them more at tackle, and he used to get annoyed when I'd ask him privately or publicly, "Are you thinking about moving a tackle?" "No, I'm not moving a tackle." but he could have. But I think Larry was a little more athletic and did play multiple positions. But, you know, we all suffer from recency bias, and so there have been a time or two in the last couple of years when, as the years have taken their toll, he might not have been quite as consistent as he was 3 or 4 years ago. But I don't think there's any shame in being second to Larry Allen. And I would say Kevin Sherrington, I think, somebody asked me this a couple of weeks ago about where I would put him on the team's offensive line list. And I said I think I'd put him behind Larry and Eric Williams probably third. And if Eric Williams had not been in that car wreck in the early 90s, he'd have been a surefire Hall of Famer, but that's how good he was. But again, there's no shame in being second to Larry Allen at anything. So we all know that Jerry embraces hyperbole from time to time, but I don't think he was too far off in comparing him to Larry Allen.
Brad Sham here on 105.3 The Fan. And what about the man? What about the teammate? What about the guy behind the scenes?
So that's, of course, the best part. There's a lot of great players. And, in fact, I'll tell you, I remember one time near the end of Larry's career at a practice. It was a regular season. I don't know what the hell we were all doing out there, but I remember Troy Aikman, and he might deny it because he might not want to say it publicly, but I remember Troy trying to get Larry to be more aggressive as a leader. Troy knew that he was at the end of his time, and he believed that Larry was so great that he could literally own the locker room, and that just wasn't Larry's personality. It's Zach's. He doesn't want to own it. Zach understands who Dak Prescott is, and you know who Sean Lee was, and everybody knows who the alphas are. But the great thing about that is when you're one of those guys, you never have to say it.
Yeah.
And as he progressed and got better, then you'd grow into that stuff. You don't walk in the door being like that. As he said, he walked into a room and it was a pretty good room. And then he had to kind of fit in with it. And then suddenly they're fitting in with him. I don't know that he had more physical ability, although we're doing apples and oranges here, than Tyron Smith. But that wasn't Tyron's personality. But Zach fit that leadership role naturally. I don't know how good Terrence Steele is or will be, but I do know that about 3 years ago, when did he come in? 2000 in the COVID year? Yeah, maybe about 3 years ago, he started off a season with Steele, I'm talking about, with a tough game, several penalties, and I came in the locker room after the game, and I saw Zach kind of lifting Steele up emotionally. Don't get down. You can do this. And that he was that kind of guy, superb character, and you couldn't draw up a better one.
Brad, do you go into the draft looking to replace Zach in the first round, or are you strictly like a best player?
I'm strictly a best player. It's hard to say the beauty of it.
Do you manipulate your board then?
No, don't forget, he really didn't help him much last year.
Right.
He was struggling before he had to go out. He was already playing hurt, and then they missed him half the year. So they know what it's like to play without him. They've had plenty of time to evaluate BB and Hoffman. And, you know, nobody's talking about Bass anymore, but everybody was in love with him a year or two ago. I'm strictly, RJ, a best player guy, except at 12, I don't see a quarterback in this draft who, if he fell to 12, that I would take. And I don't think, although there are some really exceptional tight ends, I don't think I'd take one of those guys at 12. After that, they just need so much. If there's a guy who is going to be a Pro Bowl player, this is what I want out of the draft. I want a Pro Bowl player in one of the first two rounds, and the other round, I want a walk-in starter, solid guy from day one, and I don't care if it's offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker, wide receiver, or cornerback. And those positions, then what you do is you put those things up on the board, and then you say, okay, what we don't get on Thursday, what can we approximate on Friday? And then, to a degree, Saturday, although without a fourth, you're a little bit hamstrung. But that's why I'm not necessarily in favor of a running back at 12. And I love Ashton Jeanty. I've watched him a lot. And there are others who are obviously really good. But I am fairly confident there's going to be a really good running back in the third round. And those other positions, they are desperate at. So I'm going to let at 12, I'm going to kind of let the board dictate things to me. And then don't forget, those trades that pop up at the end, you know, they traded down to get to Parsons, and sometimes a CD Lamb falls to you. So some of it you have to just let happen. But I'm a best player guy because they have so many needs.
Brad Sham, voice of America's team on 105.3 The Fan. So they're freeing up all this money now, flipping the CD and Dak Prescott switches. Jerry yesterday says, after Steven said selectively aggressive, Jerry said, I don't think aggressive is the right word. I'm not looking at free agency as a place to fill voids. What do you think they're going to do with all this money?
Something that they are not willing to say right now. Here's my key. From the day they hired Brian Schottenheimer, they started saying things that were completely different from a year ago. And exhibit A for me is Odighizuwa, who I was told by an executive fairly highly placed, like in October, yeah, it's a shame we're not going to be able to have him.
Wow.
We won't be able to afford him. And then the season played out, and I really believe, and if you go back and look at what Stephen Jones has said publicly, especially Stephen, they realize that they made a mistake with the way they approached last off season in terms of veteran free agency. You know, they did what they thought was right in a negotiating tactic with Prescott and Lamb, but they know that they missed an opportunity to keep some guys who left or get some other guys because they didn't get the money to move around early enough. So now they have, and they said they would. And Steven has said they'd be more aggressive in free agency, which hasn't even started yet. And so we'll see. But the signing of Odighizuwa and what they've done with Lamb and Prescott's contracts just in the first week and some of the other guys they're talking to, that gives me hope that they understand that they approached it wrong. So there are still some guys on their roster that they're going to have to fight for. I was led to believe before Schottenheimer was hired even, that Anger and Sig would go with Fossil. And they want to keep both of them. And they ought to want to keep both of them. And, you know, they're going to have to keep an eye on Aubrey's money because he's eligible for free agency after this year. And I guess they've put a second-round tender on Turpin, but that's a guy that they might... So there's all those kinds of things. I don't know, do they want Kendricks? And if they don't have him, then that really raises linebacker either in free agency or the draft. And you've really got Diggs isn't going to be very much help this year. So there's all kinds of things to do with that money. I would start with, well, I'd start with Parsons. It sounds like they really do want to get something done, although they know they've got him and a little more cap room than they did last year. And then you go to the other 21 guys who, after Odighizuwa, who are free agents and are on the market. How much do I want to keep them? And, you know, this is such a little thing to some people, but they're signing Goodwin is an indication to me that they are serious about what they're saying, because that would be a guy who could 100% have gone with Fossil as soon as free agency started, and he is the kind of guy who is the heartbeat and brains of your special teams, especially when you've lost the guy who's been your special teams coach. So that's a little positive indicator to me. So you start with their free agents who they would stand to lose, who's important to them, and then you see what the market throws out there. We've already seen a couple of guys on other teams get cut. The Chiefs trading Thuney to the Bears, basically because they're freeing cap space. And these next few days before, I guess, what is it, Tuesday that free agency starts? These next few days when teams start cutting guys to make space, there'll be people pop up who the public is not talking about yet. So we see who those people are, and then we'll have a little better idea of what they're going to do with that money.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for the Zach recap and offseason preview. Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys on 105.3 The Fan, how we just got named the soccer headquarters for the entire world, and how are the tariffs going to hurt hockey? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. It's Sean and RJ on your home of the Texas Rangers. Bobby Belt out sick today here on DFW Sports Station. And yesterday we got news that we may not have gotten the World Cup final, but we're going to be the World Cup headquarters.
Yes, we are. FIFA World Cup headquarters for the broadcast center right here in DFW. So all the media will be descending. Whoever has the World Cup, I think it's ESPN, they'll have their broadcast center, like the studio host when they do the Olympics. So when Tirico goes to Paris or wherever for the Olympics, that broadcast center is going to be right here in DFW. I don't know where they're going to set up.
I think it's at the
K. Billy Hutchinson Center. It might be. Yeah, it might be. It makes sense. But if they're going to be outdoors, because it's going to be in the summertime, it'll be probably too hot to be outdoors. But if they are outside, maybe it'll be near the stadium. Who knows? But you're going to have the BBC here. You'll have Telemundo or Univision, Al Jazeera, like all the TV networks from across the globe.
Wow.
Will be here in DFW. This, to me, is the best of both worlds. We're going to get all the publicity, all the shots at the skyline, and none of the extra traffic.
And all the possible guests.
And none of the real extra. Now we're going to have extra traffic because there's going to be 9 World Cup games that are here, but not the final.
So they're not putting this in like Jersey or New York where the final is?
No. Yeah, so the final is going to be there.
K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. There it is.
And then the broadcast location will be here in DFW.
From January to August 2026.
Yeah.
We're going to be the nerve center.
Whatever that means.
Like, it feels like we'll be like the Radio Row.
Yes.
We'll have World Cup Radio Row.
But no doubt. We need to figure that out if there is a Radio Row and get there and do
to
it.
Show off all of our expansive soccer knowledge.
We do. We need to show off all the expansive.
Joe Trahan. White Trahan. Putting out the call already.
Taylor Twellman. Is it Twellman? Is he out there?
Need your...
Is he tennis?
Need your media connections. No Taylor soccer.
Who's this? Stan Wawrinka? Is he tennis?
I don't know.
What are those guys?
I don't know. I just know it's a couple of McEnroes. But there it is. All of your soccer media personalities. I need a top 5 list from the soccer diehards on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line of the media, the best soccer media people to have on. That's who we'll rely on.
Ian Dark is he's a play-by-play guy.
Alexi.
Alexi. You get Landon on.
Is he still doing it?
Okay. Landon Donovan, yep.
Is Tim Howard in media?
Look, we'll trust the
Clint Dempsey was.
Just going to continue to make ourselves
Kate Abdo
sound dumber.
Kate Abdo
Dawson,
out there.
Dawson can put together.
Hope Solo. There you go.
Top five
Hope
list.
Solo. That's right.
From Gavin Dawson. Tariffs hurting hockey?
It's a wonderful word, tariff. Just say it. It rolls off the tongue. I mean, the way it is. But so first of all, we had the State of the Union or whatever they called it. And he announced the tariffs started April 2nd, but he said he will delay Canada and Mexico tariffs on cars. He's going to delay them for another month or so. But Gary Bettman said that the tariffs could have a negative impact on the NHL. And this is not something that I initially had thought of. But all Canadian teams pay their players in U.S. dollars. All right.
Okay.
The Canadian dollar, but they charge their own ticket holders Canadian dollars.
All right.
So they're upside down. A U.S. dollar, the Canadian dollar is only worth 70 cents. So if you pay somebody a million Canadian dollars, you're only paying them 700 grand in the U.S. But they have to pay their players in Canadian money. So they're already 30% down.
They're paying the players in Canadian money.
They're paying the players in American money.
RJ Math alert. Yeah.
They're paying the players in American money.
Yes.
But they make Canadian money. So they're having to shell out that other, you know, the extra money. And so already are they in a tough spot. Maybe this is the reason why nobody in Canada has won the cup in 32 years now. Since 1993 in Montreal.
Why?
Because they're already like they can't afford. They're already upside down. They're already upside down with the money, and you know it's just Bettman is worried that this is going to have a negative impact on the NHL. He's not sure if it will yet, but it might if the value of the dollar in Canada goes down even more than it already is.
Below the belt coming up at 8:40 this morning here on DFW Sports Station. Osa Odighizuwa will get you emotional over the life-changing money that he now has. So you'll hear from Osa at 8:40 this morning on the home of the Cowboys. Are we saying bye-bye to meetings? Are we analyzing meetings and their productivity?
Yep, maybe we are. The new study is showing that meetings give employees hangovers. Harvard Business Review found that people can experience meeting hangover. After finishing a meeting, you get stressed. You're 90% of employees have suffered from meeting hangover, defined as a period of diminished focus, motivation, or productivity, especially following a bad meeting.
Every Monday, I feel like this. Every Monday.
Shots at Spittle.
Oh, no. What?
Have you ever? So we've left a meeting.
We have a meeting every Monday after our show for about 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, and there's been occasions.
For some reason, none of the other shows in the building have meetings. So I don't know why. Well, I just assume Spittle likes us more.
Right.
But sometimes I wonder.
So, you know, there's been occasions, not often, but we've left the meeting and...
Well, Bassick was probably the reason KMC didn't get any meetings.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we've all had it where we left the meeting and it didn't go the way we had planned. Like we got yelled at or... just some of the things that were said, and it just stayed on your mind the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah.
That impacts your productivity.
Yeah.
Like, we go home. We have a 30-minute drive home. We run some errands, gym, whatever, and then we have a couple hours. You leave a meeting if you work in an office, you have to go right back to your desk.
Right back to work.
And now...
All right, so this is no alcohol hangover. This is just... This
an emotional,
is emotional
stressful.
Hangover. I can see it.
I can absolutely see this.
When do you think would be the best time then for regular 9-to-5s to have their meeting?
4:30.
On a Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually when you get fired, right?
Does that mess up your...
mess up your weekend.
Does that mess up your Friday night, your weekend?
Yeah. Like I think like the question is like, do you want to get... If you're going to get fired, would you rather get fired on a Friday or a Monday?
Well, I don't think... How do we go from just meetings to
just
fired?
Because, like,
well,
you know,
it depends what my severance is, I guess.
There you go.
We'll find out today, maybe, with this company.
Oh, hey, you never know. But, yeah, I think they're saying, like, you know, meetings, like, later in the afternoon as opposed to, like, right in the morning.
Yeah.
That way you don't ruin the rest of the person's productivity the rest of the day.
For our purposes, there's an old program director saying, like, if you're the boss, you're Spittle or Tim, don't go in and correct your show in the middle of it with like a stern, you know, reminder about something or yell at them, because you might mess up the rest of the show.
Yeah, because G-Bags, right before their meetings, before, if they have meetings, it's before their show.
Yeah.
So it very well could mess up their show.
Right. And that would explain the bit that you played at 640, which we probably should have gone through a little bit more with a fine tooth comb. But yeah, so G-Bag's not going to have 7:15 or 7:30 p.m. meetings. So theirs would have to take place
right before the show.
1:30.
Absolutely.
If they had meetings.
And if they ever had them.
Yeah.
And that could negatively impact the show.
Okay, I get this.
I get it.
This makes sense.
Absolutely.
Teach me the new way to learn ABCs.
Man.
This is fascinating with my boy Oliver.
Yeah, so go back to it real quick. This was
And by the way, but while RJ's pulling that up, tell us on the fan text, how many meetings do you have per week? And when would be the best time so it doesn't put you in a bad mood with the bad news or the negative message? 877-881-1053, and PayPay will read the responses.
So this is a mother who is teaching her little girl. Her name is Casey Jean, or Jean. She loves luxury labels. So instead of doing A for Apple, B for, you know, boy,
yeah,
she's doing D for Dior, F for Fendi.
Oh.
Right?
A for Abercrombie.
A for whatever you want to say, right? You know,
okay.
C for Coach.
Yeah.
Whatever. And she is getting dragged for teaching her kid about, you know, trying to make her kid materialistic. But I think it's a great idea. Like, if you've got to, as a parent, find out what interests your kid. If your kid's involved with sports,
yeah,
make it all the sports ABCs.
My kid could do zoo animals, dinosaurs.
A for aardvark. B for baboon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. And she's getting dragged. This is a society. She's getting dragged for teaching her kid. Oh, you're having her be materialistic.
Well, you're out teaching them, you know, to aspire.
Aspire. Yes.
You want Coach? You want Fendi? Fendi?
Yeah.
You want Dior?
Uh-huh.
You got to work for it. You got to learn your ABCs. You got to do well in school. Balenciaga? You got to do these things.
Yes.
Yes.
Man, we need more of this. We need to be in charge of society.
I agree. I concur. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. And just everyone, I assume this got put out there to get criticized because the mother posted it.
Yeah, she posted it. She got criticized for it. Like, you know, you're teaching your kid about all the wrong things. Teacher being materialistic. I'm like, this woman's going to keep the economy going.
Check your luggage for scorpions.
Dude.
When you get back home, my bag's still not unpacked from Indianapolis, although it was a little duffel bag. But apparently we have a new problem.
This woman came back from Brazil. She went to Boston. And much like in the movie Arachnophobia, where the spider hitches a ride in a casket, a scorpion hitched a ride to Terminal E with her luggage. And she picks the luggage up off the conveyor belt, and then the scorpion grabs her right on the wrist, you know, bites her or stings right on the wrist. Be careful. We've seen in the last few weeks, there was a venomous snake in Maine in the middle of winter that showed up in somebody's avocados or bananas or something.
Dude.
At the supermarket.
Amanda yells at me once a week for not washing the vegetables as much as I should. I just assume they've been pre-washed.
I assume they've been pre-washed too. No. I get the same thing.
Then she bought this lettuce spinner to like clean it, and then she shows me the liquid. Bobby would gag.
Oh yeah,
I almost gagged. Then it's she disgusting. Shows me the liquid after cleaning it, and she's right.
Have you ever cleaned mushrooms? It's just dirt.
Those I have to clean.
Fungus.
Yeah, they it's come disgusting. With even holes in the top of the plastic.
Yeah,
so you can get the water in there, shake it up, get that crap out.
We bought this veggie wash. It's like a soap, special vegetable soap that I guess if you consume some of it, it's not going to be harmful.
Soap, veggie soap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
Are you still using the nail prevent?
Oh, yeah, she reapplied the other day.
Reapplied.
Yeah, it started. I thought I could trick her by picking it off. She caught on.
Does it work?
I mean, I haven't been biting them the way I usually do.
There you go.
But everything tastes like chemicals.
There you go. Pepe, do we have any meeting feedback?
Yeah, apparently our one meeting per week we should not be complaining about. The 818 says 4+ meetings every day. 817 says 12 to 18 meetings per week.
Wow.
214 says 10 meetings per week, and the 817 has a great point. We have Bobby on the show. That's why we have meetings.
That's a fantastic point. why Kevin Hagelin may not be a fan of Osa Odighizuwa re-signing with the Cowboys. Cover your ears, Kevin Hagelin. And we now have the price for getting this big-time receiver if you're the Cowboys. Below the Belt, next on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
RJ Choppy here. I'm back, baby!
I watch more football than you do. You know what is back after I just heard Zach Wolchuk talk about Dave and Buster's? You were there last night.
I was. I had the boys last night. And
Tolo Luke, Raphael.
Yes, he did.
Tweeted it out. Raphael Delgado.
Yes. So I was. I took Luca to church. And Julian was like, I don't want to go.
I'm like, all right.
What do you want to do? He goes, I don't know. We were trying to figure out things to do. And he said, let's you know, Dave and Buster's. We haven't been to Dave and Buster's in like 5 years. We hadn't. And I was like, all right, it's out of the street. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. I'll go. I'll take you. And so we went. Went last night. Half price day.
Oh, yeah?
Half price games on Wednesdays.
Well, in addition, first I looked at the Tolo. Very nice photo catching Absolutely. Up with you. Then I thought about what you could have been doing at Dave and Buster's. I haven't been in there for a while.
It's awesome.
But the thing that has emerged the most to me mm-hmm. in looking at the photo, and Aiden, let's see if we can get this up on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. You're wearing the same exact clothes today.
Yeah. So you look at...
you got the same pants, the same shirt, and the same exact hat on in this photo as you're wearing this morning.
Right.
Help me with this.
Every day.
Every day what?
Well, see, some people work on a 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. schedule.
Okay.
I work on a noon to noon.
A noon to noon. Okay. So,
I'll go to work.
When did you? Okay, yeah, take me through.
I'll go to work. I'll get home from the gym. I'll go to the gym. Get home, shower. It's around 12 o'clock at that point, and then whatever I put on, then I wear the rest of that day. I sleep naked, and then I put that on the next morning, and then go to the gym after work, and then shower and change.
Huh. Pepe, do you do this?
No, I don't. I mean, if I wear clothes,
but you're
like,
a nighttime showerer.
I am, yeah. So anything I put on is automatically dirty, whether I wear it for, you know, 6 hours or just a couple hours. But once I shower, that's the reset there.
Right. Same for me.
So if I shower at like 8 and wear something from 8 to 9:30 before I get in bed, then I can throw it in the clean.
In the hamper.
Yeah, the hamper there, and I can wear it the next day. It'll be fine.
See, same thing. It's clean.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
But 12 hours or whatever, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's just you guys. We're here. Then I'm going to go to the gym. So.
Oh, it's just okay.
I'm going to go to the gym.
Okay. All right, so fascinating. Did not know that. That's the way you break it down.
Yeah, it's just, you know, noon to noon. I'm on a noon to noon day. That's my day, noon to noon.
Okay.
Because like I consider the work day, the prep day, and then the show. So I'm more, you know, at 10 o'clock, it's Friday. Friday starts at noon.
At noon.
That's how I got to break it down.
All right. I just noticed the same thing. Same exact thing. So I had to ask about it. Here on Sean and RJ, Bobby Belt is out sick. Osa.
By the way, my son got no chance to ever beat me in Papa Shot. And I saw the Papa Shot National Championships on during NBA All-Star Weekend. I could work those fools, okay?
You think that's your number one bar game now?
It might be.
You are the king of bar games.
It might be.
Better than darts and pool?
Man, the problem is that you got some real studs at pool and darts. I can't compete with them. The people I saw in this national championship of Papa Shot.
You go glass all the time?
All the time. All the time. And you know the trick is? Bring one of those little needles with you that you have for like the you know, the pumps.
Deflate the air pumps, it.
Deflate them a little bit and then pound the glass. That's the trick. Wow. That's a the life trick. Hack.
Well, now, like is there anything in the Dave and Buster's display case that your boys would still be interested in taking home?
Oh my God, like the prizes?
Yeah.
They've got Ring doorbells in there. They've got
what?
They've got, you get an Xbox. You gotta get enough tickets.
Yeah, for 10 million points or tickets.
Wow. Enough points. What is the nicest thing that anyone has won in one of those display cases? Mm. I can't even come close to throwing out anything.
I think I got a water gun one time, but that was like way back in the day when those were like pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do they monitor that? Like, if you're an adult doing that, there's no monitor, right? There's no bouncer.
No, you pay the money, and that's why, you know, like, we went on, like, the half price day. So, like,
you're, like,
game.
Reaching across the Papa Shot, though, and doing it, or you're both throwing up two balls at the same time. Well, I wonder if they have any monitors, like a Vegas. Like a Vegas casino in the back to monitor.
I don't know. But, yeah, if you get the coupons, but they got some good games in there or good prizes.
All right, Osa Odigizua did the media tour yesterday, unlike his agent, who has now ditched us twice here on the program. He went on Up and Adams, and this is an awesome, awesome answer. Osa's reaction to signing that big deal.
I mean, it was just, you know, being able to take care of my mom. I feel like that was like the first thing and probably the most important thing is just being able to take care of my mom and then like my family and just making sure that for the rest of our lives that we're going to be good. That's going to be awesome. And that's probably what hit me the hardest. Like, it took me a little while, but after we left, me and my mom sat down for lunch and we just had a moment, you know. You know, I got to look at my mom, the beautiful soul that she is, and tell her that the struggle is over. That was really awesome. The mission, obviously, in that regard is accomplished. She's going to be solid for the rest of her life. And I think that's definitely my main duty as a son to her. So now kind of just playing for legacy and love of the game.
Awesome. I heard him getting cracked up with the emotion. Also labeled his mother the best Nigerian cook of anyone else around. I have not had Nigerian food. He was going over some of the dishes with McAfee. I think he said he could eat rice and stew the rest of his life and probably maintain his same weight and conditioning. But he said, yeah, if other NFL players or people, once they have his mom's food, it is night-night. She, like, grinds up her tomatoes into, like a dehydrated tomato. I mean, next-level stuff that I've never heard about with Nigerian food. Brian Schottenheimer wants to improve the cowboy culture by connecting on another level. He attempted to do it after he heard the Osa news.
We have the guy we want. The team, the locker room, loves Shotty. And I think that's part of where it starts. I believe he's a smart guy. And just the person that he is. He's a good dude, you know. Called me afterwards.
Really?
Said congratulations. Me and my family went to dinner. He found out where we went to dinner at, and he sent me a little gift. Just the kind of care that he has for us, and it's the kind of coach that you can run through a wall for, you know?
What did he send you? What did he send? Tell me.
A bottle of champagne.
He did? He found out where you guys were going, and he said, deliver. That's a classy touch. That's nice.
Awesome.
That's very cool.
Shotty finding out the restaurant and getting Osa that bottle of champagne. Very well done. Kevin Hagelin.
What's the minimum you got to spend on the champagne? Something like that.
Great question. I think it's got to be maybe, if you're talking about their pay grades, $100. Champagne, I've found actually one of the best value buys to go out and get. Like for Amanda's birthday, the great Nick Bray set us up in this Colombian country club.
And
I'm like, there's like 7-8 people here. Let's get 2 bottles of champagne. I'm a believer that I can't tell great differences between $100 bottle, $40 bottles of champagne. It's all about the taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with Andre Extra Dry if I had my druthers and have $3 or $4, $5 bottles of champagne versus Moet or whatever.
Moet,
fancy.
Veuve.
You know, I don't love the taste of that. I'm not like, oh my God, this is life-changing champagne. But I feel like when you're doing this, you got to have a $100, $120 price bottom line.
Okay.
Do you feel that way about champagne?
That it's a value. You can get a good value.
Yeah, just
for
like
cheaper.
If I gave you a $50 bottle versus a $100, are you definitely loving the $100?
No, because you get a bottle of Veuve for like $50 at like certain like Costco. I think
30, 40. You know, you got 7-8 people there. Everyone gets a glass. It feels big
time.
It feels big time. Important. You can't chug it because of the carbonation.
Right.
It can mess some people up because they're not used to it. These are my little, you know, alcohol tricks.
I don't think you're wrong at all.
All right, Kevin Hagelin, cover your ears because McAfee played the high school wrestling highlights of Osa, 3-time state champ. And Osa was asked how much he credits wrestling to fighting with big uglies up front. on the offensive line?
It definitely, I can credit my wrestling career with a lot of football success and just shaping me mentally to be the person that I am today. But no, you will not catch me doing any WWE.
Don't rule it out. Don't rule it out.
Come on.
And not to disrespect the WWE, I just know it's not actual wrestling.
God, that made me love him even more. Oh, McAfee and all them freaked out.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. Kevin Hagelin not liking Oso Odighizuwa probably after that shot. But the most shocking part of the interview, Oso Odighizuwa with Kay Adams did not know that Mike McCarthy was not coaching.
Man.
He didn't know Mike was not a head coach still.
That we've been surprised in our time how little the players, some of the players, not all of them, some actually follow the sport or don't follow the sport.
Yep.
And this is another example of it. And this is like also like, can we really trust the top 100 that the players do?
Right.
They don't even know who's coaching. They don't know who's, you know, what the who's in their division. Can we really trust that? I don't know.
Right. So also Odighizuwa doing the media rounds. Congratulations to him and the family here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We got DK, Bosa, another receiver available, or Diamond Cavs? What would you like to go with?
Let's do DK.
Okay. K is the Cavs.
DK.
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf.
All right, DK is available. We have the price. The Cowboys have the money. Would they throw it his way? Maybe towards another Brian Schottenheimer wide receiver? Are we getting a Hall of Fame quarterback joining the NFC East? Everything else heard at the NFL Combine. Let's see what comes true in the final hour of Sean and RJ next on The Fan.